couple of years ago, I saw this on the internet. A guy spent years taking pictures of butterfly wings because he started seeing letters of the alphabet on their backs. Okay? And I can tell you, if you believe in evolution, forget it. Okay? God knows how to write letters on the back of butterfly wings. Amen? He knows how to do that. And actually, I was talking to, some of you have heard of Gail Ripplinger. I was talking to her on the phone about this. And I said, Gail, you got to see this. Because I got this from her. And because things, I like to see symbols in the Bible. And the Bible is full of symbols. God draws pictures all in the Bible for us. And things that fly on the earth are pictures of things that fly in the heavens. And the gospel is on angel wings when he writes. And these are all English letters. Okay? And how many letters are there in the English alphabet? 26. I count things. Okay? I'm like obsessive compulsive. Okay? I count things. And wisdom, the Bible says wisdom comes from counting. Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. God's telling you where it is. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding do what? Count the number. Okay? And there's a number there, 666. So one day I count everything in the Bible that I can. I counted chapters, and I counted to the 666th chapter of the Bible. Turn there. He's trying to turn there now. Don't even. It's Ecclesiastes 7. And in Ecclesiastes 7, Solomon said, I was looking for wisdom. And he said, lo, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find the account. So here we have two witnesses in the Bible, one Old Testament, one New Testament. They're both associated with the exact same number, and they both tell you that wisdom comes from counting. So count things in the Bible. Count cadences, rhythms. This Bible is so rhythmic. That's how come this Bible is easier to understand than all the negatively inspired versions. Amen? It's because it's rhythmic. And you can take kids and you can say, be sure your sins will find you. Everybody do that. Be sure your sins will find you out. Not only is that true, but it's rhythmic. Okay? And God designed that in the Bible. Anyway, I counted. I went to the 26th book of the Bible. Okay? And I was thinking about that and I thought, God, the 26th book in the Bible, what is it going to say there? And it's Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24, the Bible says, and when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of a great waters, as what? The voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech. And these butterflies that go around with these letters on their back, they're a testimony that God writes His word everywhere. Somebody say amen. And I just like the fact that God drew that one on there too. Because I like McDonald's. Listen, I know it's corrupt. Amen. All right, but anyway. All right. The Bible says, Colossians 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Does that mean what it says? Yes, God doesn't have a speech impediment. So if the Bible says something, God means what He says in the Bible. And Christ is all and He is in all. And how does that work? Because we know from the Scriptures that Christ, John 1:1, in the beginning was the what? Was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And so people have accused me of being a Bible worshiper. Yes, sir, I am. I worship that Bible. Amen. This is my friend. Say hello to my little friend. Okay? This is my companion. This is my counselor. Amen. This is who I run to when I'm in trouble. This is who I run to when I need counseling, when I need help, when I need wisdom, when I need to fix my marriage. This is my marriage counselor right here. When my kids aren't right, this is who I go to. This is my friend right here. This is my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you have a problem with that, take it up with God, because He said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You cannot separate Jesus from the Bible. Can't do it. Can't do it. They are inseparable. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And He hasn't. We have forsaken Him. But He has never forsaken us. And so I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible over everything. And I believe the Bible is what created everything that there is. Look at this verse. For by Him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be... I'm counting here. For by Him are all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. How many do we have? Four. Everybody say four. And see, them Arkansasers got you beat. They know how to count to four a whole lot quicker than you guys. Think of things that are four in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four. And then count again. Whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers. Okay? They're all created by Him. Did God create the devil? Yes, He did. Did He create all the devils? Absolutely. Did He create evil? Yes. He says He did. He created darkness. He created light. Everything that is was created by the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And all things were created by Him and for Him. That means He not only created it, He's in charge of it. Do you believe that? And see, this, you'll need to believe that one day when you think that the devil is just pounding over you and he's going to win. Because the truth is, God never lost control. He's still in charge. Amen? So anyway, in Revelation 4:11, they said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. I like that. 1, 2, 3. Why glory, honor, and power? Why 1, 2, 3? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Mary the Redemptrix, right? No, she don't belong in there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. God created you to get pleasure from you. Who in here has kids? No, I ask this. Who in here has grandkids? Because if we could, if we'd have skipped the kids and went right to the grandkids, amen? I got a granddaughter now, and I just sit and stare at her. And she's 3 months old, and she's beautiful. And I'm going, I don't ever remember staring at my three girls like this. Okay? But I get pleasure out of my children and out of my grandchild. I get pleasure out of that, and God gets pleasure out of us. That's why we're here. And I'll tell you that If you're not really giving God all that much pleasure, man, you're missing out on what on why you were created to begin with. You're missing it. Okay? You'll never find the satisfaction of life in liquor, dope, sex, or anything else. Power, politics, it doesn't matter. You'll never find the satisfaction in life until you get right with God and say, God, how can I please You today? How can I serve You? So anyway, man, I like this. I like this. Does anybody know what that is? Huh? That's a galaxy. Okay? And a galaxy is not one star. It is a group of billions, maybe trillions of stars all together. Okay? Now, everybody take your fingers and do this. Okay? Hurry up, take a picture of everybody, all right? And just allow just barely enough light seeping through your fingers, okay? And you hold it up to the sky like that. And beyond that is this right here. This is the Hubble Deep Field picture. This is that telescope we sent up into space. And it was able to see farther into space than we'd ever seen before. And see all these little dots here? Yeah, they're not stars. They're galaxies. And this, I mean, it's all of these dots here are galaxies. And this range here of this picture covers about that much of what you could see mashed between your fingers when you hold it up to the sky. Multiply this times that. And we'll never be able to count how many stars are out there because the Bible says they're innumerable. Because you know what the Bible says these are? Angels. I hear crickets chirping. The Bible says they're angels. And the Bible says that God has a name for every one of them. He telleth the stars by name is what the Bible says. Do you believe the Bible? So do you believe God's bigger than you are? Amen? Okay. Now I love this because God created this. And how did He do it? He did it for this they're willingly ignorant of. Who's willingly ignorant of? Charles Darwin was willingly ignorant of. Carl Sagan's willingly was. He's dead now. Now he knows. But it's too late. Okay. Stephen Hawking. You know who he is? He's the physicist that writes all these books. He's bound to a wheelchair. And he doesn't believe in God, the poor guy. He is willingly ignorant of the fact that by how? The Word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And what he's saying here is that the heavens came into existence by the Word of God. God created them. In fact, let's go to our Bibles. Who brought a Bible? I'll be like these preachers. I'll be reading from the King James today. Genesis chapter 1. Look at this. Verse 3. And God said. Verse 6. And God said. Verse 9. And God said. Verse 11. God said. And verse 14. God said. Verse 20. God said. Okay. Verse 24. God said. Are you getting the picture here? Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Why did he say that in the plural? Count. Eric von Daniken, you know who he is? He wrote Chariots of the Gods. I read Chariots of the Gods when I was probably 6th, 7th grade, something like that. And Eric von Daniken said that, oh, this is the space aliens talking to each other in the mothership and when they planted seed on planet Earth that we all evolved from. That's what he said. He's an idiot. He's an infidel. Amen? He is willingly ignorant. You see, he's reading the Bible. He's reading Ezekiel 1 where Ezekiel saw the throne of God. And he said that was the mothership that he saw. He's willingly ignorant of how God is describing this universe that He made. He's not only made it with this book, He's describing it in this book. And so I believe that this book is a perfect representation of everything that is created. Do you believe that? Say amen. Okay. What a mighty God we have. Amen. So it's by the Word of God. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Who likes to fish? Amen? The fish don't come after you because they don't have dominion. You go after the fish, know the fowl of the air. Thank God for chicken. And over the cattle. Thank God for beef, but not tripe. My first time. Okay? Go to Infantino's. Guy's ordering tripe. And I'm going, okay, I'll try it. And he hands me this little dish and hands it over to me. He says, I'm going to have to order some more of that. I can tell right now. And I ate it. And I said, no, you're not. But see, God gave us dominion over that, didn't he? Amen. And over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every liberal that creepeth upon the earth. And so watch this. The Bible is full of opposites. God the Father. There's a feminine spirit in the Bible. Her name is Jezebel. Her name is Delilah. Her name is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Al Gore calls her Gaia. And that's his god. By the way, Gaia is a whore. So what does Al Gore get caught in here recently? Okay? That's his god, S. Okay? And so here, watch this. God, who created everything and who makes the laws, said that Adam and his progeny, his children, man has dominion over the planet. We're in charge. The New Age movement, because it rhymes with sewage. Amen? The New Age movement that worships Gaia says that Gaia is in charge. The woman. The earth. And all the pesky humans are hurting the planet. And they need to be got rid of. And you should believe that these people are dead serious about it. Have you heard about the Georgia Guidestones? It's a new Ten Commandments, isn't it? Let's reduce the Earth's population down to about 500 million. That would eliminate about 6.5 billion people off the planet. Just like that. And I suspect that they have a plan. The Earth Charter. Okay? But it's backwards, isn't it? God built us here and He gave us dominion. And she doesn't, and watch this now, because you're going to like this, because you start thinking about Bible typology and Bible characters and how doctrines are interrelated to the stories that are in the Bible. We have a marriage, we have a man and a woman, and who's the spiritual head of that home? The man, unless you're Joyce Myers. Amen? And she lives in the same county as me. Okay? And I live in a double-wide trailer, and she lives in a $400,000 house that when she bought it, she gutted it completely and rebuilt it, spent probably another $500,000 in it, including a $30,000 throne in her bathroom. I'm not making that up. Okay? So anyway, but see, watch this now, because Jezebel does not like authority. Are you with me? Can I start preaching now, Pastor, about biblical authority and realms of authority? Jezebel does not like authority, does she? No, she doesn't. And so Jezebel hates the fact that men have dominion over her. And Gaia is this harlot spirit. She is represented as... Did you ever notice that in your King James Bible, the earth is always in the feminine? Go read Genesis chapter 4. The earth hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood, is what God said to Cain. Okay? She has a womb, by the way. Okay? I mean, you just go read this in the Bible. So here's this woman, the earth, that harlot spirit, the spirit of this world, and she cannot handle the fact that men have dominion over her. So the United Nations comes in, every nation in the world, and says, this land here, we got to clear all the humans out. Because they're hurting her. She doesn't like them here. And it's all in the Bible, folks. It's all there. So the answers are all here. Anyway, by the Word of God. So the Word of God is what made everything. The Word of God made you, and the Word of God made me, and it made everything that is. And so look, we read this. God said, over and over and over again. Now, I've taught this before, but I got something brand new to show you about this. Fibonacci sequence, okay? Who's my mathematicians here? Anybody? Are you a mathematician, really? I'm an idiot when it comes to math. Yeah, that must be my problem. Man, I cheated on all my math homework. I didn't do it half the time. I didn't like it. And God said, I've got a sense of humor, so I wrote books on Bible numbers. And I'm looking at this, a Fibonacci sequence, and I'm getting it. But I like simple things. And let me just draw this out for you very quickly. 0 plus 1 is 1, and 1 plus 1 is 2. So they go in a sequence here. where if you take 1 plus 2, that'll equal 3. And then 2 plus 3 will equal 5. And then 5 plus 3 will equal 8. And 8, 5, and 13, and so on. And it's a sequence. It's called Fibonacci sequence. A mathematician by the name of Fibonacci discovered that. Actually, it was discovered. The mystery schools knew about it ever since the days of Babylon. They knew about it. It's called the golden ratio or God's ratio. And if you were to take that, you see spirals everywhere. And if you were to take the beginning of a spiral, you have the Fibonacci sequence. One, let's say this is 1 inch. 1 inch and 1 inch. And this would be 2 inches. And this would be 3 inches and 5 and 8 and 13. Now, you're a mathematician, right? Okay. Because it's going to take somebody, it's going to take a genius to do this. Okay? It's really complicated. Somebody add these numbers up. Add them up real quick. 33. My daughter. No. God's the one who invented the numbers. Amen? And I just happen to have a Savior who died for my sins when he was 33. And there's about 1.5 billion reasons why he did everything he did on the cross. But my daughter's the one that added this up because I was telling her about it. And she just, her mind just went and she said, Dad, that's 33. And I went, what? You know how we talk to our kids, you know. She said, if you add 1, 1 and 2 and 3 and 5 and 8 and 13, she said, that's 33. You didn't know that? And I said, no. So she's like bragging that she found this out. Because I want to show you something here in a minute. I want you to remember that the Fibonacci sequence from 1 to 13 equals 33. I'll get there in a minute. Take a look at this. Fibonacci spiral. Okay? Same ratio, same pattern. Let's see here. Do you see it here? See the spiral coming out. In the structure here, how about that? Fibonacci spiral. Here, this is grass. Okay, the spiral's there. You see it there. It's in nature everywhere. See the spiral? Fibonacci sequence. That's why they called it God's ratio, is it because it just happens to show up in the creation. It's like God painted a picture, called it the universe, and then signed his name on it so that everybody would know that it's his. Amen? So that everybody would know that it was his. And, I mean, among all the other reasons why you should not believe in evolution, one of which is that evolution as a doctrine, as a teaching, has a goal, a purpose. Because if we have evolved from a lower state to what we are now, we're going to keep evolving to a higher level. Transhumanism. What is it? Does anybody know? Transhumanism says, it's this new idea floating around in science that says, man is on the verge of being able to direct his next phase of evolution, and he's on the verge of it within years, not decades, not centuries, within years, man will have the ability to determine how he's going to better himself. Man is very close now to having the ability to turning himself into a god. That's what transhumanism, and you know what? We're close. We're very close. Why are they monkeying around with genetics so much? Why are they doing that? To see how it works so they can make it better. Why are we monkeying around with so much technology? Who's got their cell phones? Okay? You see everybody in the world walking around like this. Right? And they're at the checkout line. Okay? And they're driving. Okay? And then, every now and then, they're not doing this, they're going. Right? So the goal is to take this, and instead of it being here, putting it here. It's called the singularity. It's when technology like this and humanity meld together to make a new breed, a new human. And so if you believe in evolution, then you believe that evolution has the next logical step, and that is man is going to be more than what he is right now. He will be transhuman. He will evolve into a higher state. He will be the God that he was promised to be in Genesis chapter 3. This is where we're going. You want to believe in conspiracy theories? Let's believe in the conspiracy theories that the Bible tells us are real. Can I get an amen out of you? I mean, yeah, it's fun to watch YouTube videos and listen to New World Order radio. I mean, we just like doing that stuff. But I'm telling you, the real conspiracies and the easy ones to believe are right here. And if you'll just open this Bible and read it, you'll get all the conspiracy theories that you can handle in a lifetime. Can I hear you say amen? Okay? But anyway, evolution. If you want to believe in evolution, go for it. But you have to come up with a workable theory why everything in the creation has God's signature all over it. You have to do that. Not only do you have to account for the fact, who knows anything about the cells? The building blocks of life. Does anybody know anything about a cell? And I'm not a biologist. Okay? I'm just a guy that started seeing stuff in the Bible and I'm going, you know what? I remember this from biology class. Okay? The cell is the building block of life. Everything that lives on this planet is made up of cells, okay? And those cells have particular things inside of them, like the Golgi apparatus and the mitochondria and all that stuff that I don't remember from biology class. But it has all of that stuff in it. And the weird thing is that all of the functions of a cell have to be operating perfectly, or the cell cannot reproduce. It'll die without reproducing. And that's the purpose of a cell. Sounds like a church. Go ye therefore and do what? Preach the gospel. Reproduce. Okay? So the cell. Now watch this. Now evolution will tell you that 4.5 billion years ago on this rough planet Earth with all this nitrogen gas in the atmosphere where nothing could live, there was this pool of goo that had all these building blocks of what a cell, and lightning flashed and thunder rolled, and all of a sudden these proteins jumped together and fused and instantaneously became a perfect reproducible cell. Just like that. It's just a whole lot easier to go, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen? I mean, not only do you have so many questions to answer here, but one of these days you're going to have a lot of questions to answer. Somebody say amen. Okay? So anyway, you got to account for that. Fibonacci pattern. There it is. Okay? The spiral. It's there. Okay? You might be able to say, well, there's something in the cell structure and something in, the DNA of plants and animals that causes this little spiral. It's, you know, goes back to the building blocks of life and evolution and all this stuff. But how do you get water to do that? Who is it that commands the waves? God is the one that makes waves, doesn't he? He commands the waves, and he speaks to the waves, and the waves just have this Fibonacci spiral to them. So, you know, you flush the toilet, let the water out of the tub. If you want to see the Fibonacci pattern, we'll take a break, go to the bathroom, and go, look, God made that, okay? It's in everything in nature. And we're dealing with things that deal with life. Now, I do want you to look at something here real quick. I want you to notice the Fibonacci spiral starts here, starts spiraling it out, and at some point it just kind of dissipates. Notice that it starts, and as it goes outward, it dissipates, and it doesn't keep going, to infinity. Let's see here. When you take a scroll and you roll it up like they used to do in the old days, and it kind of unrolls itself, that scroll by itself will form a Fibonacci spiral. So we're dealing with the words of life. And this water is life. You cannot have life without water. All these things have to do with life. So you have the Bible, which is the word of life, which was always rolled up in scrolls, has the same Fibonacci pattern. What is that? It's umbilical cord. I love this. It is the mother feeding the child. Okay? Now, Paul said in Galatians that heaven is our mother. That's what he said, right? Jerusalem, which is above, which is free, is the mother of us all. So that when you were born again, how many of you were born again? When you were born again, you were not born of this earth. You were born of heaven. Amen? And the umbilical cord still attached. Here it is, right here. She's feeding her babies through the pages of the Word of God. Listen, you ought to shout. Amen. You ought to get happy about something. Amen. Listen, I know the country's going liberal and there's sodomites every place, but hey, we're in the house of God. Let's have a little fun. Amen. Heaven, God is drawing pictures for us in everything that He creates of how His kingdom really is. And heaven is feeding us right now with this umbilical cord here called the King James Bible. Somebody say amen. Amen. Fibonacci spiral. Did that just happen? You know, it just evolved that way. And I want you to notice here again, the spiral starts out, and as it comes around, it kind of dissipates after a certain point, doesn't it? And that's what you see in all the Fibonacci spirals. That's what you see. You see it kind of dissipating. And here's what got me. This is brand new stuff. It's not on any video. In fact, I wanted to put this in one of the broadcasts, and I'm going, no, I'm going to tell those people up in Rochester about this thing. I did. Because I want you to notice that the spiral starts out here and it ends here at 13. And it does the same thing here. That once the spiral comes around in a complete turn, then it starts dissolving. Does everybody see that? Okay. Now, what did we say? What was the number that's associated with this? So, and who was 33? He literally is all and in all. It makes doodads go up and down my back just thinking about it. He in everything in life, in the universe, He is in them because He is the Word that was spoken that put them in existence. And everything in nature has the exact same pattern. He's the water of life. Same pattern. You know, it starts out, then it kind of tails off. And that's Jesus, okay? All right. Here we go. Hang on. Let me come down here. Now, I could just look at these things all day. This, you're going to like this too. Took me a while. Took God a while to wake me up to this. Psalm 19, you ever read this before? A Psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God. Do you believe the Bible? May not understand it all. I don't. But we believe it. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now, I teach opposites. There's God's religion and there's the devil's religion. God's religion is that God is the one who created all these. And these are, you know, I keep saying this. Let's go to the Bible. You got your Bible? Revelation 12, charge. You ain't done that in a long time, have you? Yeah. Yeah, but you didn't have your thumbs on the spine, though, okay? Revelation 12. Now, here again, we can either believe what the evolutionary, ungodly, atheistic scientists tell us about the universe, or we can believe the Bible. Which one are you going to choose? Because Carl Sagan has not saved one soul. But this has. So watch this. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the what? So who were they? They were his angels, weren't they? So these are angels. Now, the opposite of the heavens declaring the glory of God is astrology. Okay? It's astrology. Oh, the stars. And really, you know what astrology is? It is worshiping stars. It is believing that stars direct the course of life. And what that is you're saying that the stars are gods. And that's true because they are little g. They are little g gods, and it's the same old religion of people worshiping gods rather than God. Okay? So in Roman Catholicism, it's called sainthood. Right? Because all the saints are the gods that you pray to. Right? Okay? That's just old Babylonian pagan worship is what it is. But anyway, so these stars are proclaiming the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. And, I read books on this subject, and none of them really satisfied me as far as an understanding of what David was writing about here. He said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Day unto day utter a speech. The stars, the firmament show this handiwork and all this stuff. And so, God, what does that mean? God said, call in me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And so, how is it that the stars declare the glory of God? How is that? There had to be a biblical answer, and there is. So turn to the 46th chapter of the New Testament. I'll do it. Luke chapter 2. What's in Luke chapter 2? Verse 9. And lo, the who? The angel. A star. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory, and the what? The heavens declare what? The glory of God shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Let me get my verse here. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly what? The stars. The host, the stars, praising God and saying what? Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. David said the heavens are declaring the glory of God. The heavens, the stars were there on the day that Jesus was born declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Wow. Say it backwards. Wow. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Is there a nation anywhere in the world right now that has at least not heard the Christmas story? They've all heard it. They may not believe it, but they've heard it. This Bible's right. The heavens shall be rolled together. Look at this. The heavens are rolled together just like a scroll. The Bible says this in two different places, and I counted the words of both of these verses here. How many books are in your Bible? The heavens rolled together as a scroll. Oh, I love this. The Fibonacci pattern. How many white keys? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8. That's a Fibonacci number. How many black keys? Y'all know the Black Keys song, don't you? Right? You know that song? Okay. And how many here? And how many here? And when you add them all up together, what do you get? So watch this. In a perfect chord, I do know a little bit about music. In a perfect chord, from C to C, you have 8 white keys, you have 5 black keys, and they total 13. And if you add all these numbers up, 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, what do you get? That's because Christ is all the psalms and all the hymns and all the spiritual songs. Somebody say amen. So if the devil wants rock and roll, he can have it. Wow. And Christ is the... I'm glad God gave us music, aren't you? Amen. And He is all and in all. But in fact, let me do this. This number 13 up here, is that a bad number? There are no bad numbers in God's kingdom. Because God invented them all. Amen? It's like there are no evil days. Well, there's one evil day coming. But who made all the days? God did. And I like being free in Jesus Christ. Amen? So can you worship God Thursday night at 8:03 in the evening? Amen? Because God gives us freedom. And this is the day that the Lord hath made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody say amen. Okay? And so anyway, 13. Yeah, I know everybody, you know, if you go to a hotel, there's like to the 12th floor and the 14th floor, but there's no 13th floor, right? Okay? And everybody says, unlucky 13. Oh, that's 13. Oh, I won't have anything to do with that. Stop. Think about it for a minute. Because God's the one who designed everything, and there are opposites in the Bible. The number 13, God showed me this one day, and it's so beautiful. The number 13 represents the love of God. Okay, how so, Pastor Mike? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. Okay? Here you have Jesus, and how many disciples? How many does that make? And for God so what? Loved the world that He did what? His love, for God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what for us? He died for us. And how old was He when He did that? And He was the 13th among the 12 disciples. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles, 12 of them, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ being the what? Chief cornerstone, unless you read an NIV, and He's the capstone. Dun, dun, dun. You smell a rat there? I do. Okay? So anyway, Christ, what is the charity chapter of the Bible? 1 Corinthians? Did you know the exact phrase, love of God, is found exactly 13 times in the King James Bible? That is good stuff, isn't it? And I didn't write it. God did. Because God is a God of order, isn't He? He's a God that can be found out if you diligently seek Him and if you study to show yourself approved. You can learn something from the Bible that you never learned before. Amen? Doesn't take a genius. I dropped out of 2 Bible colleges. I would have never learned this at Bible college. Would have never learned it. I said, God, I want to know something. And God said, well, I can teach you if you'll act like you don't know anything. And I said, God, I'm pretty good at that. Okay? So the charity chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, the love of God. And what is, you know what the Bible, you know, I'm just chasing rabbits. I'm not even going to get done with this thing tonight. So get the video, all right? The charity chapter, the love of God. Does anybody know what love means? What the biblical definition of pure, charity. But what is the definition of that? Some people say, oh, you can't define love. God does. I'll show you how. Listen to this man. The biblical definition for the word love, the true, pure love of God, is giving. And how do we see that? For God so loved the world that he did what? Husbands, love your wives. No, say amen. Husbands. I mean, you're real good at that. Wives, obey your husbands. But can I tell you something from a practical? See, I like the prophetic and I like the numbers and I like the wow, that's cool. But that Bible is the book of my life. And it has straightened my marriage out. It's had to, or we'd have divorced. I've been there. And God began to deal with me one day. And he said, Mike, you're wanting your wife to obey you and be submissive to you. You actually have the greater responsibility in the marriage. You're supposed to love her. And you're supposed to not be bitter against her. That's tough. Because she ain't always feeling right. She was not designed to handle the pressure that men were designed. Men were designed to handle a lot of pressure and very little pain. Women were designed to handle a lot of pain because they're having the babies. Don't ask us to have the babies. Amen, Bernie? Not doing it. God designed us that way. And God designed me as the man to be able to handle the pressures that come in to our family and our marriage and our church. God did not design my wife to handle that pressure. And she doesn't handle it very well. And you know, I'm supposed to love her irregardless. Unconditionally. So men, husbands, love your wives. Amen. And I got couples in our church. I mean, we're just messed up as everybody else is sometimes, seems like. And they'll come sit before me. You know who I go for? I go for the husband. I'll tell him, look, your job. Listen, I don't want to hear you gripe and complain about her. In fact, I already know what kind of woman she is. Okay, you married her, but you're to be the man. You're to love your wife unconditionally. Because Christ loves me unconditionally. And sometimes I can't handle that one. Amen. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and did what? Gave. So here, we're still dealing with the number 13. So then we have the opposite of God's pure love. God's pure love of giving, charity, which the only, King James Bible is the only one to use that word. I like that word's right. Amen? And so then we have the opposite of that, which is harlot love, and it's taking. So we have a woman in the Bible. And in your King James Bible, Revelation chapter 17, in all capital letters, here's her name, Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. How many words? 13. And Babylon is always represented as an earthly city, like Sodom or Nineveh, because they're always in the feminine. She this, she that. Sodom, her sins. How many times did they march around Jericho? 13 times. One time a day for 6 days, 7 times on the 7th day. And what happened when they marched around Jericho, that great city, 13 times? What happened? Babylon is fallen. So the harlot, she has a love, but it takes from people. It doesn't give. You see the opposites in the Bible? Okay? And this world, but see, Christ is that 13 in that he is the gift of God to all mankind. Now, in Israel, technically there were 13 tribes. There was the half tribe of Manasseh. When they went into the promised land, everybody got a portion of land except Levi, but the half tribe of Manasseh got a portion of land, so that was 12 plus the tribe of Levi, which is how many? God was in the midst of them. In the wilderness camp, you had the 12 tribes camped around what? The tabernacle, which was Jesus Christ. God dwells with men, 13 there. Does everybody follow that so far? Okay? So, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. And at one point, we'll get to the conspiracy theories in a minute. At one point, this nation was the light and the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel was going out of this country to every nation in the world. How many of y'all know your history? Say amen. Amen. The Baptists, even the Methodists. You know why? Because they all had the same Bible. They were all sending missionaries out all over the world from this country. We were the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. But what happened? We started harlotting ourselves out to the other nations. Let's talk conspiracy theories. So the number 13 in this nation doesn't represent Christ anymore, does it? Represents a new world order with mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth as her master. So when you go to Washington, D.C., and you look on top of the Capitol Dome, where all of the laws are created in this country, there's a woman, an idol, a goddess, standing over the most powerful sinner in the entire earth, Mystery Babylon the Great. How many of you see it clearly now? Makes sense, doesn't it? Makes sense. Okay? Anyway, music. Oh, by the way, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Who's that talking about? Lucifer. Does he know how to play music? Yeah, he does. He does it pretty well. He has built-in musical instruments into his very, very body that was prepared in him in the day that he was created. So he knows music and he knows how to manipulate it to do what he wants to do. You have to believe that. Okay? Why has our country turned sour? Since 1963, when the Beatles came over? It was the music. It was the music. You remember Woodstock? It was the music, man. Okay? And it transformed a nation. Because the devil knows how to play music. And everybody's listening. Amen? Everybody's listening. So, I mean, it works. It works both ways. When Nebuchadnezzar had everybody, did he have them stand before his idol? What did they do? They fell. King James says they fell. Is there going to be a falling taking place in the last days? There's a picture of it in Daniel. And how can you tell the real Christians from the phony ones? The real Christians stood. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood. See, it's real easy when you look out in the plain of Dura and everybody has fallen down except these three guys. See, God's going to do that. Do you believe that? Okay? While everybody else has fallen, God's people are going to do what the Apostle Paul always warned us to do. Having done all, to stand. To withstand in the evil day. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. He didn't tell us to fall. He told us to stand. Amen? So, Benny Hinn does his little deal, and he goes, and what happens to everybody? Let me tell you something. The spirit of Babylon is a drunken spirit, and she will cause you to fall. God's spirit will cause you to stand. See, when you start reading this Bible, you'll go, that's fake. How come I didn't know that before? It's fake. It's phony. It's not real. And you pastors here, you pray for these guys in this area to stand. Stand on this old Bible. Amen? Stand on this old Bible. Stand up against Joyce Myers and Benny Hinn and Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi. Stand up against these rascals. Amen? Amen. You pray for them because we're running out of good guys. Name a denomination, a ministry, or a movement that has not had some kind of morality, financial, or doctrinal problems. She's taken over, isn't she? Because there were some guys that stood at one time. And she came in. They're fallen now. So pray that they stand. What's that? That's my wife when I don't clean my mess up. If she was here, I'd say the same thing. It's just that I'd lick my sores afterward, all right? That is a hurt. That is the voice of God, is what that is. See the spiral? And see how it tails off? Same pattern. And Christ is in that. Amen? Now listen, I want to speak to you, you conspiracy. Who's the conspiracy people? Raise your hand. Now, I am. Okay? Let me just, I will be nice about it. Okay? The truth of it is, we don't really know what HAARP can do. Admit it! But I know what God can. And I know there is not a cloud that arises that is not the handiwork of God Almighty. Okay? So I don't need... Listen, and stop and think about this for a minute. I don't need secret documents on HAARP to believe in a conspiracy. And you know, I usually carry one around with me. I like to contrast things. I carry a King James Bible, and I have a copy of Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma. Does anybody know what that is? It's this 800 some odd page book of Masonic secrets. And at the very front of the book, it says esoteric book, which means nobody can read this. Okay? I got one, okay? Some widow didn't do her job. I found it in an old used bookstore, okay? But that's what it says on there, esoteric book, okay? Means, nobody can read this. Now, contrast that with this Bible. Does your church go out and say, now, we can't tell you everything that we believe. You have to become worthy enough. Is that what you do here, Pastor? Now, you can go and knock every door in Rochester or wherever it is we're at and say, let me teach you the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you can tell them the whole truth. Because watch this. Jesus said, what I whisper in your ear, you proclaim from the rooftops. In the Masonic Lodge, they say, what we whisper in your ear, if you tell anybody, we will slit your throat from ear to ear. It's not right. So anyway, I read most of Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma. I was looking... Because God has just, He puts hunger in me. I want to know secrets. Okay? I want to know Bigfoot. I want to know about Bigfoot. Be honest. Look at you. And the rest of you are going, I'm going to raise my hand. But you want to know. I was a kid in library that when on library day, I would get books on Loch Ness Monster and UFOs and Bigfoot and every kind of mystery there was out there. I wanted to know. I want to know. And God made it easy. Mike, just ask me and I'll tell you. I mean, He'll do that. Amen? So I read Morals and Dogma. I was looking. I wanted to know. The Knights Templar had a secret. And I wanted to know what that secret was. And the Masons have a secret. And I wanted to know what the secret was. And I read Morals and Dogma. I couldn't find it in it. You know, they didn't. I went to the Mother Lodge of Freemasonry in Washington, D.C., at 1733. You know, they always put that number there. They have a 7,000 volume Masonic library of ancient texts and books of, I mean, Rosicrucian, Masonry, occult. They got it all in there. And I'm going, man, they'll never let somebody like me in there to look at them. Did you know that anybody can go in there, fill out a piece of paper, and request to look at any book they've got in there? Anybody can. Do you know why? You know what I found out? Masons have this humongous secret. They just never wrote it down anywhere. They never wrote their secret down anywhere. So I'm going, where am I going to find it? So Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. So I found the secret to Masonry. I found the secret that they were trying to conceal. I found it right in here. Because Jesus said, that which is hidden shall be revealed. Okay? And it's not going to be revealed through the Pope. Amen? It's not going to be revealed through Jack Van Impe. It's not going to be revealed through Kenneth Copeland getting a word of knowledge. It's going to be revealed in the only thing in this world that we can trust. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. So when I found the secret in here, I knew it now. And I knew it. And once I learned that secret, I'll probably talk about this tomorrow night, but once I learned that secret, I went back and read Morals and Dogma, and I'm going, well, there it is right there. Yeah, look at there. Okay, I can read Manly Hall's Secret Teachings of All Ages. I can read it, and I'm going, yeah, I know what that means. I'm getting pretty good at reading symbols. Mike drove me around town, showing me gargoyles and stuff. And I'm looking at them. Yeah, okay. I'm getting pretty good at it. It's because God gave me the key that unlocks all the locks. It's right here in this Bible. If I do anything in two nights that I'm here, it's to get you here. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Okay? But if you're saved, get in this Bible. Read it. Believe it. Study it. Memorize it. Pray over it. Weep over it. Hug it. I've done it. Because when I didn't have another friend in this world, I had this one. Amen? If you're here today and you're not sure, I've been there. I've been not sure. And I just ask God, God, I want to know. And if you'll have that much, that's like mustard seed faith. If you will take that much and say, God, I want to know. I believe God will let you know. And you'll always end up right here in His book. Somebody say amen. Oh, let's move on here. So that's the voice of God. Job said, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Said it twice. Because God speaketh once, yea, twice. Jesus is the Word of God, right? So He came the first time. Is He coming again? That's God speaketh once, yea, twice. Isn't that amazing? He speaks once, yea, twice. Jesus came the first time, and God said, when I send the word out, it accomplishes everything that I send it out to do. The work's not done yet, is it? He still has to accomplish His work, because not all of His enemies are under His feet yet, are they? But they will, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? I love that. What's that? Tripe. That's what it looks like. That's your inner ear. That's how you hear. Same spiral. Okay? By the way, that's the inward part. This is the outward part. Let him who have ears to hear, let him hear. Amen? Let him hear what? Oprah Winfrey? Let him hear the word of the Lord. And our pastors and our churches have closed their ears. You know why? Because they're getting real close to worshiping idols. And you know what God said about idols? They have ears that they can't, but they can't hear. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have arms, but they can't reach out. And he said, they that worship them are as them, or shall be as them. And the people are going to worship an image one of these days. You believe that? Say amen. And they won't be able to hear anymore. And they won't be able to see anymore. Wow. There is no speech, nor language, where their voice is not heard. It all matches. It's perfect. Everything. Look at that. That's a ram's horn. And notice, it stops right there. Whew, I like this. Because, and it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the what? Ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the Bible is its best dictionary. Okay? If that's for me, tell them I'll call them back later. All right? I don't go around saying shofar because it's not in the Bible. I mean, I'm not getting on you, but I'm just saying it's a ram's horn and it's a trumpet. It's a trumpet, right? Okay? And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall what? By the way, what are we waiting on? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a what? And the trump. This is a story. This is Joshua. When they marched around Jericho, how many times? And there was a falling away that took place. And there was trumpets. And there was shouting. We're looking at a picture of the rapture. Doodads! Amen! David. Oh, you're going to like this. David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, didn't he? And I'm getting ahead of myself. The first time he did it wrong. And there was a breach. Think, when you study the Bible, look at things that happened twice. One is an incomplete and the other is perfect. So David wants to bring the Ark into Jerusalem. The Ark is the seat of God's authority. It's Christ sitting on the throne of David, okay? It's all those things. It has the law in the inward parts. The Ten Commandments was inside of there, okay? It was made of shittim wood, which is thorns, okay? All of this stuff. But anyway, he wanted to bring it into Jerusalem. And he did it the wrong way the first time. And there was a breach. Right? It's called Perez Uzzah. Because Uzzah reached out to touch the ark and he was killed. And it was called Perez Uzzah. The word Perez means breach. There was a breach. God's not done with Israel. I'll get mad. God's not done with them. His covenant has not been done away with. It's been breached. But one of these days, the repairer of the breach is going to come. And the dry bones are going to live. So he brought the ark and it failed the first time. Then he comes in the second time. And you go back and read this story. The King James Bible, the language structure of that Bible is absolutely perfect. Don't change words in the Bible. Let the words of the Bible change you. Amen? So anyway, when they bring it in the second time, the second coming, they bring it in with trumpets and shouting. Because when God takes us up, he's going to repair the breach that he made with Israel. He's going to restore his promise to them. And they are once again going to be the people of God. Do you believe the Bible? Let me teach you. Can we just chase rabbits all night? Let me teach you this right out of the Bible. Let me teach you the illustrations of the Bible. What did Jesus say? He who is last shall be, and he who is first shall be. Now, who really was born first, Ishmael or Isaac? And in Galatians 4, Paul tells us that Ishmael is a picture of Israel who is born in bondage at Mount Sinai. And if you go read the promise that the angel of the Lord made to Hagar in the wilderness, he said, I'll make a great nation out of you. You know, that's exactly what God said to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. A great nation. Isaac had how many sons? Esau and Jacob. And who was born first? But who got the birthright? He who is first shall be last, and he who is last shall be first. And so Jacob gets the birthright because he appears as Israel, as Esau, the firstborn. Okay? This is deep stuff. And then Esau comes in weeping, and Isaac gives him a blessing, but he says, it's got to wait. Until you're, I can't remember the whole story, but anyway, then Jacob goes and he marries how many women? And he chooses Rachel first, doesn't he? But that's not who he ended up with. We're the ugly sister. We're the Gentiles. We who were last have been chosen first, and Israel who was chosen first is going to be last in the kingdom of heaven. Manasseh and Ephraim. The hand blessing upon them. And it was crossed. It was switched. And Israel had their day at Christ's first coming and they rejected it. But their day's coming. Do you believe the Bible? Okay? So when we're taken up, where's my clicker? God's gonna blow the trumpet. Make thee how many trumpets? Why? The words of the Lord are pure words as what? Silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified how many times? How many trumpets? Seven. How many spirits of God? How many times did the priest sprinkle the blood on the most in the most holy place in the Ark of the Covenant? Seven times. I wonder if I can find my notes here. I'm taking up a lot of time. I know y'all want to go to bed. Can I tell you something? I don't have to get up and go to work tomorrow, so I don't care how long. Praise the Lord. This is the 490th chapter of the Bible, by the way. 70 times 7. You want to hear something else? You know how many times the word, the name Jesus, referring to our Savior, you know how many times that's mentioned in the King James Bible? 980 times. That's 70 times 7 times 2. And think about what the 70 times 7 is. Lord, how oft shall we forgive our who? Our brethren. And who was the brethren of Jesus? Israel. Until seven times? And he said, no, until 70 times 7. And Jesus is the twice coming 70 times 7, the forgiver of the sins of Israel. Because God said that he was going to restore to Israel double for all of her sins. Man, I can't, you know, really, when you get a heart for this Bible and you get a heart for the real God and the real Jesus, you will have a heart for the brothers of Jesus. The tribes that he was born into. They took Joseph, who presented himself to his brothers the first time and told them the dream. You're going to bow before me. And they took him. They were going to kill him, but they didn't. And they put him where? In a pit. He was sold. And they took his coat that his father had given him. His glory coat that his father had given him. And they took it. And they put blood on it. Because Jesus has a vesture. And they said, a beast hath devoured him. And they rejected the one. Listen to this. Joseph was going to end up being their savior, wasn't he? They rejected their own brother who was going to be their savior. I counted. 22 years later. You know what the number 22 is for? Revelation. You know how many chapters are in the book of Revelation? 22 years later, exactly, Joseph stands before his brethren and says, and they don't even know who he is. And because Israel right now is blinded in part. You know why they're blinded in part? Because God gave us two eyes. In my case, four. He gave us two eyes. And Israel is blinded in part because we have two testaments to the Bible. And my eyes see them clearly. But Israel is blinded in part. They only read one testament. They won't get the full picture, will they? Did you know how God designed us? The two eyes working together is what allows us to see depth. And when we only have one eye, we cannot see deep things of God. And that's Israel. And one of these days, their eyes are going to be open. And they're going to know who their Savior is. And Joseph stood there 22 years later and said, it is I, Joseph, be not afraid. And he told them, he said, don't worry, because what you meant to me for evil, God meant to you for good. Isn't that sweet? See, when you get a love for God and you get a love for the Bible, and I'm looking forward to the translation of the Gentile church in the last days. But to be honest with you, I'm more looking forward to the day when God restores His covenant to His people Israel. I'm looking forward to that. Because Joseph then, when he revealed himself to his brothers, he went and he held them and he wept on them. Because Jesus loves His brothers, people. And you, old goat, you were just grafted in. Amen? Make thee two trumpets of silver. Why? Old Testament, New Testament. It's the words of the Lord as pure words. That Fibonacci spiral. Here again, the Word of God. Two trumpets. And Israel right now, and if you go read the law concerning these trumpets, when one trumpet blew, then only the elders gathered together. When both trumpets blew, that means we're all coming together because we're fixing to fight the war. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a what? And whose voice was it? It was Jesus. With the Fibonacci spiral ending at 33. That's who it was. And so in Ezekiel 33, God says, Son of man, I set thee to be a watchman on the wall of the house of Israel. And he said, watchman, when, not if, but when you see the sword coming, what are we supposed to do? Sound the trumpet. And that trumpet is this Bible right here. Preacher, you sound the alarm. Amen. I don't care if half your church walks out. You sound the alarm. Amen? Yes. And half of mine did. You sound the alarm. Okay? You blow that trumpet and you sound that alarm and you warn everybody, because if you don't, their blood is on your hands. Tell the truth. Amen. By the way, Paul said, for if the trumpet make an uncertain, you know what that is? That's everybody sitting there with a King James Bible and the preacher's reading out of the NIV. Woo! Amen! You know what? He's making an uncertain sound because people sat for years listening to King James Bible preaching. And all of a sudden these slick guys come in out of Bible college preaching out of these new Bibles. And they said, I don't know what that, I don't see that in my Bible. Where is that? And they've wrought confusion in the place where God said, let all things be done decently and in order. DNA. Deoxyribonucleic acid. from the very, this is the largest thing known in the universe, is a spiral galaxy. The smallest thing that we know. We can't even see it with a scanning electron microscope because actually the DNA molecules are smaller than light waves, so we can't ever see it. It's the invisible things of God, the hidden things. Okay, now they're being revealed. So here we have the Fibonacci spiral, 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. And DNA at its base is 21 angstroms across. And you notice there's a pattern to the spiral. And from the bottom of one turn to the top of the other, it's 34 angstroms wide, 21 and 34. Now, this is neat. You're going to like this, okay? Notice that it's in the shape of a rolled up book, okay? It's rolled up. This is neat because when DNA, this is how your body works, okay? You have these little cells, these building blocks in your body, and every one of those stones, those cells, has DNA in it. When your cell, which is supposed to reproduce, duplicate itself, amen, making disciples, okay, all that deal, an exact duplicate of the DNA from this cell has to go into the new cell in order for it to have life. Does everybody follow that so far? Okay? So can we build churches without a Bible? They have no life in them. But that's what's being done in the emergent church and the New Age church and the Rick Warren crowd and everybody else is they're building churches without Bibles. And they're temples of death as far as I'm concerned. There's no life in there. Zero life. Okay? But watch this. Here's what happens. Is that the DNA is all rolled up like a scroll. And what happens is, when the cell is ready to divide and turn into a new one, you're going to like this, the book is unrolled and opened. Because you can't save people without opening the book. Give them the gospel, amen? Don't give them felt needs and how they can be wealthy and successful and have better romance in their marriage. Don't give them that garbage. Give them life, amen? Preach old King James Bible. I mean, just preach it from Genesis to Revelation. Open the book. By the way, preacher, we're not worthy to open the book. Only one is. And he alone is worthy to loose the seal. Seven seals, seven spirits. And so the DNA scroll, it opens it. It's crooked. It's twisted. Have you ever seen these ancient symbols? And I'll show you one tomorrow. These two of these snakes coiling together. That's what that is. Because I'm going to tell you something. We are corrupt. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I better wait. So anyway, when you look at the King James Bible, the word twisted is actually the word crooked. So God asked the question, can crooked things prepare you the way of the Lord? Make the crooked things straight. So that's what happens with DNA. So now it's crooked and it's straight now because God makes it straight. By the way, God can make us straight. Amen. We come to God all crooked and twisted and serpent-like. We come to God full of sin. And God just straightened our life out, amen, with a straight Bible. So anyway, and then it divides, it rightly divides. And one half goes in the new cell. And I haven't got to the neat part of that yet, but it reduplicates itself and adds both of them because you cannot be a New Testament church and not have the Old Testament preach in your church. And you cannot be an Old Testament church and not do anything with the New Testament. It's all or nothing. It's both of them. Amen? The two witnesses are right here in the Old and the New Testament, and they both must be preached. Okay? And so anyway, Then it puts itself back together and coils itself back up. Now here's the interesting thing, because a while ago we talked about the caduceus, the two snakes that are joined together. And we all know who the snake is. Amen? Barney Frank. But he's one of them. So anyway, we know who the snake is, the serpent, don't we? And it's just amazing that DNA looks like an old serpent. I'm going to show you something. In the Fibonacci sequence, when you add 21 to 34, which is the dimensions of your DNA, you get this number here. In your King James Bible, the name Satan is mentioned exactly 55 times. The word devils is mentioned exactly 55 times in that King James Bible. And that's what you got in you. Amen? But see, that in itself is the seed because it's the Word of God. And how is the seed sown according to 1 Corinthians 15? It is sown in corruption. It's raised in power. See, it's all there, folks. So, you still believe in evolution? Raise your hand. Okay? I mean, you know, stand up for what you believe in. What is that? No, it's a picture of the temple. It's not the real one. Come on. No, that is you. That's you. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. Do you believe the Bible? This is all I've got, people. It's all I've got is a Bible. Because 1996, I took over as pastor of Bethel Church. That was my home church. I grew up in that church. Okay? I used to play under the stage. I can't fit under there now. But I used to play under the stage. I was baptized there. I surrendered to the call to preach at 16 years old at that church. I got married there. I met my wife in our church. Okay? I mean, all of a sudden, she liked me. And man, I was a nerd. Okay? I'm not kidding you. I don't know what she was thinking. Okay? I'm glad she did. But anyway, I got married there. She went into labor with our first daughter there. God called me back to be an associate. We started a daycare and a Christian school. And then the pastor left. You know, when you pull a shotgun on your wife, you kind of have to, you know, go do something. That's what he did. And all of a sudden, I had this church dumped in my lap that at the time I didn't want. And in 1996, my life was, I was messed up. I was going to be a Rick Warren liberal. And I knew better. I'd had good teaching in that church. But my life was messed up. My marriage was messed up. Everything in that church was chaos. And I set foot in that pastor's office. And God said, "Come here, Mike." And I went to my father. And my father took his rod out. And he began to drive the foolishness out of me. Been there, done that? He began to drive the foolishness out of me. And then in 1997, a year later, God said, let's study Bible prophecy. It's kind of silly me saying let's, because God already knows it. Okay, but he wanted me to study that. I mean, that's just what he said. And I said, cool, because I'm going to go to the Christian bookstore. And I'm going to buy the books on Bible prophecy. And I'm going to do a video on UFOs. I mean, I really wanted to do a thing on UFOs. I haven't done it yet. But I really want to do something on UFOs. And so anyway, but God said no. I mean, he did. He said no. You see, when you get in that Bible, the Spirit will deal with you and show you things. And God said no. I wrote a book. A sure word of prophecy. And I submitted to that, because when God says it, I surrender all. Amen. White flag comes out, I surrender. And I said, okay, God, where do you want to start? Daniel, Revelation. He said, you just open it up and start reading. And I'm going to show you great and mighty things that you don't know. That's what I'm going to show you. Okay? So I did. I threw everything out. I did. I said, God, if you want me to be an amillennial, I'll be an amillennial. But that's not what God wanted me to do. I mean, the amillennials are good on symbolism, but they ain't got much substance. Amen? Okay? So I asked God. I threw out the rapture. Let's start all over again. Because all I read was Jack Van Impe and Tim LaHaye, and that's not the best sources in the world. The best source in the world is Paul, Moses. I can show you the rapture in this Ten Commandments story. If you want, I'll do that tomorrow night. You want me to? I'll show you the rapture in the Ten Commandments story. It's there. It's the neatest thing. It is so cool. Okay? But I asked God, is there going to be a rapture? And rather than God saying, yes, he began to show me scriptures. He began to show me the rules of scripture. The Bible will tell you how to read the Bible. Okay? So we have videos back here where I show you what God has shown me, the rules. Okay? The rules concerning the prophets, how they speak. God speaketh once, yea, twice. Joel is not done speaking yet. It's not done. It hasn't been done. There, on the day of Pentecost, the sun was not darkened and the moon did not turn to blood. It's not over yet. Okay, so the rules. Bible typology, the picture stories that God draws for us in the Bible because we're children and we like pictures. Okay, the apocalyptic language, I call it revealed language of the King James Bible. When you decide that you're not going to go to the Hebrew and Greek every 5 seconds,
amen.
And just believe that God gave a gift of interpretation to the translators of the King James Bible, just exactly the way he promised he would, because they were dealing with three unknown tongues, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And he said, let one interpret. And there it is. Okay? God began to show me the rules, and I began to believe that, and I began to see things that I'd never seen before. Okay? And I have an opportunity to do what I like to do, which is not shut my mouth and make videos, and I'm doing what I love to do, is that God didn't give it to me to just store it up and not say anything to anybody. Anybody who wants it, it's yours. Okay? So anyway, the temple. What is the true and correct definition of the temple? What is it? It's the body. Even when Solomon built that magnificent building that he built, God asked him, show me the place that I can dwell in. You can't build a house big enough for me. That's what he said, isn't it? Because God does not dwell where? Temples made with hands. So I want you to think about this for a minute. Transhumanism is a rebuilding of the temple by the hands. It is not good. Made with the hands of man. And at that point, God's spirit will no longer strive with him. And the word Ichabod will be written. That's good, isn't it? So now you believe the Bible, don't you? And you're seeing things out in the world going, you're doing what Peter did. This is that which was spoken. Okay? So, 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, chapter 2, verse 1, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Are you ready to be gathered? Amen? Amen. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. And I like how the Bible is always telling us, don't be afraid, don't be shaken, don't be troubled. Stand, you know, be solid, okay? Because this is a solid foundation, okay? So be not soon shaken in mind and be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor as letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by Christian radio. Let no man deceive you by Christian music. Is there deceptions? And listen, I don't know about y'all northerners, but I like Southern gospel. I like that good quartet music. Man, I'm a quartet guy. But I know some guys that have been in Southern gospel music, been with the big boys. And they'll tell you that there's adultery, sodomy, money hunger. It's as corrupt. It's a business. Because harlots love money. So don't be deceived. You know what God's going to end up doing? God's going to end up drawing His people out of every one of these little institutions that we've bound ourselves to. God's going to send two angels to drag us out like Lot, kicking and screaming all the way. And say amen to that. So let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a what? Remember in the plain of Dura? They were fallen. Remember the walls of Babylon? They're fallen. Okay? And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, capital G, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth where? Where is he going to sit? The temple of God. What? Know you not that your body is the temple? Because I've read a lot. I haven't read all of it. I'm working on it. Manly Hall's Secret Teachings of All Ages. And he talks all the time about the God. You hear the New Agers talking about what's on the inside of you. Those who practice contemplative prayer. And we have a video on that. If you don't know what that is, you have got to see this. Because aside from the Bible translations in the churches, the number one biggest threat to churches in this country is contemplative prayer. They are not getting in connection with God. They're connecting to devil to familiar spirits. Pastors are doing it. And you know what it is? It's bypassing the mediator. So when you go into a Masonic lodge and you hear them pray, it sounds good, but they will never mention the name Jesus in there. Do you know why? Because He and He alone is the only mediator between us and God. And if you do not pray in Jesus' name, you're not reaching God. You're praying to the wrong God. Okay? So anyway, but you'll hear him talk about the God that's on the inside of you. And he's hidden and he needs to be revealed. That's because the beast is in a pit. He's hidden. The lost word of Freemasonry says that the lost word has been buried, hidden, deep inside the earth. And it's waiting to be revealed. And so the Masonic symbol for that is a triangle with the number 33. So here you have 33 miners trapped where? Hidden in a pit in the darkness. And what brought them out? The phoenix. The phoenix is a picture of the Antichrist. It is the God who died and is resurrected from his own ashes. The beast was and is not, and yet shall be. He has a deadly wound, and his wound was healed. That's what the Bible says. The phoenix is the Antichrist, the beast that's going to rise up out of the pit. And that phoenix capsule is what brought the 33 out of the pit into the light. So that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And so, and I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but I've been told all my life that, yeah, they're going to build the temple in Jerusalem and the Antichrist is going to sit there. Okay? I'm not so worried about that anymore. What I'm more concerned about with is everybody looking to see the God that's inside of them to release him. That's what I'm concerned about. You see what I'm saying? So he literally will rule in the hearts of men all over the world. Nebuchadnezzar. What happened to him for 7 years? Let a beast's heart be given him. A beast. Nature was ruling over him in his temple. You see that? Okay? So, this is what the Bible says. And it's starting to make, this Bible's starting to make a whole lot more sense than it ever did. Amen? Oh, let's see here. Oh. What did we say that was? Yeah, you're getting there. Okay? Ye also as lively what? Every cell in your body is like a little stone that makes up your temple. Okay? Are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The word temples is mentioned exactly 208 times, and there are exactly 208 bones in your skeletal system. King James Bible.
Amen.
Wow. So, watch this. And you know what? I'm gonna close with this, because this is like the neatest thing in the world. Here's got some bones here. And how many ribs? I can't count mine anymore. Hey, man. Yeah. I want to show you this. Man, I love God. God's so smart. You have 12 here, 12 here. Okay? You have 24. Now, anytime you see 12 in the Bible, you could either be talking about Israel, the congregation of the law, of the Mount Sinai, or you can be talking about the Gentile church. You have 12 tribes, you have 12 apostles, and God designed that on purpose. Okay? So watch this. Remember Manasseh and Ephraim. The right hand went to Ephraim, who was the second born, and the left hand went to Manasseh, who was actually the firstborn. So watch this. This 12 here on the right side is the Gentile church. Okay? The left side is the congregation of Israel. Where's your heart? It's in the center, but it's... And God said, when the high priest, you make a breastplate and you put 12 stones on there and write the names of every tribe, so that when the high priest goes in to the most holy place, the names of the tribes of Israel are upon his heart when he goes in to do the sacrifice. And who was Jesus thinking of when he was on the cross? He was thinking of the 12 tribes, because that's where his heart is. Don't take that away from him. Amen? Don't take it away from him. But anyway, the heart has four chambers. How many Gospels? And where does Jesus live right now? In your heart. That's because, watch this. Ezekiel saw, and John saw it too, Ezekiel saw the throne of God, and it was suspended or carried by four living creatures. John called them beasts. Four. How many Levite priests carried the Ark of the Covenant? Four. Now, in heaven and in earth, it matches. Okay? Now, watch this. Remember when we said David a while ago, trying to get the Ark of the Covenant? It was God's law that the Ark, the gospel, the sacrifice of Christ and all that the Ark represents was to be carried by the four Levite priests. Any other way, and it's against the law. It doesn't work. It brings death. And God proved that. So watch this, okay? How is it that a man saved? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How is it that David brought the ark into Jerusalem the first time? It wasn't by the four. It was by some other way. And it brought death. Does everybody get that? When you don't bring the gospel in by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by the birth, death, and the substitutional atonement and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the blood, when you don't teach that gospel, you're not teaching the real gospel. Amen? So the four-chamber heart By the way, that's the gospel is the life of the church. It's the life of the Bible, because the Old Testament connects with the New Testament by way of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? And so anyway, the heart takes the blood, amen, the blood, and gives it to the body. And the lungs, and there's two of them, because it's the breath of God, Old Testament, New Testament, and the lungs give their breath into the blood, and it's carried to the body. I love it. Seven spirits, and on these lungs there are seven vascular bundles called nodes. And these vascular bundles are where the oxygen from your lungs is transferred into the blood to be carried to the body. Okay? So we have the lungs, we have the seven spirits of God, the lungs. We have the heart, which is the throne of God. And so in Revelation chapter 4, turn to Revelation 4. Hurry, charge! Because somebody's got to get up early in the morning. Revelation chapter 4. And I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And what does your King James Bible say? One set on the throne. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. So who was on the throne? You know what the NIV says? Someone. Dun, dun, dun. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, is what Lucifer said. So the NIV proclaims that someone is on the throne. Not one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and His name, one. Did you know that's God's name? One. And His name, one. That's because we are supposed to seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Okay? God's always number one. That means you don't write your tithe check after you pay your other bills. Preach a amen it. One sat on the throne. Now look at verse 4. And around about the throne were how many seats? The 24 elders are the ribs, the 24 ribs that surround the throne of God in your body temple. Isn't that amazing? Evolution is stupid. Listen. You were made in the image of God for His pleasure and His glory and His purpose. That's why you were made. If you're spending your life in anything less than that, you're wasting your life. I've wasted my life. I have. And I have been in church all my life. And there's been times when I was a total waste. And being in church, I know how to do it. I know how to fake it. And it's going on. One day God just decided to have mercy on me. It was like Jerusalem in Ezekiel 16 when God said, when thou wast in thy blood, I said unto thee, live. And God just decided that I was just going to live. Amen. Not by works of righteousness of my own, but by Christ's righteousness. And so, I ask you a question. Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you? Are you faking it? Because I know how to do it. Okay? And I didn't say, are you a good person? Because you're not. Listen, I don't come here to pat you on the back. You're made out of the same dirt I am. And you're not good. Never will be. Paul said, in me, that is, in my flesh, there is no good thing. And we got pecans coming out in Missouri. And I love pecan pie. And listen, and God made pecans, and didn't he do a good job? Amen. And God made pecans so good, and he made cane sugar so good, and he made that flour, that crusty dough. So, I mean, he made that so good. And my meemaw used to make, she called them Cairo nut pies because we made them out of Cairo syrup. And she made, and I said, meemaw, don't you make fun of that. I'll pop you in the eye. That's my meemaw, okay? And my meemaw made the best Cairo nut pies that God ever saw on this earth. And we take something like that, and what do we turn it into? Corruption. That's how good we are. In you, there is no good thing. And if you're counting on your works of righteousness alone, all you have is filthy rags. And how dare you show up to the wedding in those? How dare you show up to the wedding in those? God will cast you out. Okay? You know what you need? You need the righteousness of Christ. I don't know much about Martin Luther, but one thing I do know about him was he was in that monastery beating himself with a whip every day because he thought the Bible, when it said the righteousness of God, he thought that meant he had to attain to the righteousness of God. And he cloistered himself in a monastery, separated himself from everything in the world, and beat himself bloody, trying to drive sin out of his flesh. And he was mad at God because he kept reading in Romans the righteousness of God. And it made him mad. He said, I can't do it. And then God said, let there be light. And Martin Luther decided that the righteousness of God was not the righteousness that he attained to. It was the righteousness that was put on him by Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to show you one more thing. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation 19. I'm going to show you the danger of the new Bibles. You believe they're dangerous? And I went to Bible college, and they said, no, we know there's discrepancies here, but really no doctrine has been affected by the changes that are in the new translations. Look in verse 8. Revelation 19, verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Now she is arrayed in that. She does not adorn herself. A harlot adorns herself. But the pure bride does not adorn herself. She is adorned. That's why Paul said, we have put on Christ. Okay? Clothed in righteousness. So watch this. The King James says, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now we know that that is not our own self-righteousness. It is the righteousness that Christ puts on us if we are in Him. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen? You want an illustration of that? Where was Noah and his family? The ark was Christ because it was lifted up. Okay? And 8 is the number for new beginnings. And how many was there in the ark? And guess what chapter of the Bible they came out of the ark in? 8. Genesis 8. They were in Christ. They were not hanging on the outside of the ark going, I can't make it. Because you can't. You can't make it on your own. You're foolish if you think that your church attendance and your tithing and your good looks and the fact that you wear a tie on Sunday and a dress makes you a Christian. It does not make you a Christian. And I'll tell you what, I love fundamentalism and I like good standards. But I want to tell you something, we get high on our standards and we think that those are meriting the grace of God in our life, and it's not. They're filthy rags as far as God's concerned. God will not play second fiddle in your band. It is the righteousness. Now here's why I read that. Because in the other translations, it says, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Works. You're looking at a guy that I've asked God to be the number one enemy on earth of works salvation. I hate it. And I'm going to tell you my story. 4 years ago, and I have to go see next month, I have to go see an orthopedic surgeon because of my shoulders. I'm having real problems moving my arms now. They hurt all the time. They're hurting right now. 4 years ago, on April Fool's Day of all days, I was finally going to do some stuff around the house. My wife had been hurricaning about for a while. Okay? I love you, honey. I'm going to record this. Anyway, I was proud of myself. You know, pride goeth before, you know. And I had done some things in the house, and I thought, well, she's going to be real proud of me. And there was a coax cable under the, we live in a double wide with an addition on it. And I had crawled underneath the crawl space of our house on this moist ground. And what I didn't know was the electrical line that ran from the pole into the house had a rupture in it. And I was literally hands and knees on top of a bed of electricity. And I didn't know it. Until I was halfway under the house. And I leaned forward, and this shoulder touched the metal frame of the house. I don't even like talking about it. And immediately, I couldn't see. What I heard was, and I was frozen on my hands and knees, and I couldn't move. And I was conscious of everything. I wasn't in pain, but I was conscious of everything. And I was there, seemed like, you know, a long time, but 30, 45 seconds, I'm thinking, I'm not breathing. And I wasn't. I was paralyzed, completely, totally paralyzed. And I said, Mike, you're fixing to go stand before God. That didn't make me swell up full of pride. I said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because that's who I am. And I'm never going to lie to anybody about it. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I just waited to die because nobody knew I was under there. And just before I could feel myself passing out, and the last thought I had was, God, I don't want to leave my wife and kids. Just like that, it let go. Just like that. And I fell to the ground. And I said, ah! And my son heard me, and he came running around. Dad, what's the matter? I said, go get your grandpa. His grandpa was next door. He went and got him. Initially, after it happened, I probably could have crawled out of there, but I didn't know what I'd touched, and I wasn't moving. And by the time the fire department came, they had to crawl under there, drag me out. They were breathing heavy. I don't know what their problem was. They're out of shape or something. And they airlifted me to St. John's Hospital up in St. Louis, which is a burn unit. They checked me all out. This was a Saturday. Now, I know I'm not going to preach the next day. And the poor doctors and nurses up there made the mistake of asking me how I got loose from the electricity. And when I told them, they just kind of went, And my wife showed up, and I started bawling. I said, honey, I was going to leave you. And I didn't want to leave my wife. And I couldn't move my arms for days. And the damage, the current went up this hand and went across my shoulders. And I have a scar right here on this socket right here. And this arm, I mean, it's just really giving me grief. But here's my point. Had it been my time to die, I would have been in heaven by the grace of God alone. I could not cross myself, genuflect, kiss my rosary, sprinkle myself with holy water. Thief on the cross, what can he do? He can do no works, can he? But he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know what Romans 10 says? If we confess with our mouth the what? That's what he said, Lord. And believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And the thief on the cross was believing that God was going to raise Jesus from the dead before he was even dead. He said, Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me. And I'm here to tell you, we're saved by grace.